The headlines: a divisive race for the White House hangs in the balance as incumbent U.S. President Donald Trump declares victory, and his Democratic rival Joe Biden voices confidence in his win. Iran's president says that it is not important for his country who takes the helm of the White House, calling on the next U.S. president to respect international law. And Israeli soldiers kill a Palestinian police officer near the occupied West Bank city of Nablus. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Muse. Thanks for joining us. Ballots are still being counted in key battleground U.S. states that will decide whether incumbent President Donald Trump or his Democratic rival Joe Biden runs the White House until the year 2024. With polls closed in all states, U.S. media projections show Biden has secured 238 electoral votes, with Trump to have grabbed 213. The candidate needs to win 270 electoral ballots to become president. The Democratic candidate has a narrow lead in Wisconsin and Nevada. The president, on the other hand, has a slight advantage over Biden in Michigan and looks secured to win Georgia and North Carolina. Biden is also holding a lead of more than 1% over Trump in the popular vote. Both candidates have addressed the nation as vote counting continues.
I'm here to tell you tonight, we believe we're on track to win this election. We knew because of the unprecedented early vote and the mail-in vote that it's going to take a while. But we're feeling good. We're feeling good about where we are. Keep the faith, guys. We're going to win this.
I want to thank the American people for their tremendous support. Millions and millions of people voted for us tonight. And a very sad group of people is trying to disenfranchise that group of people. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list, okay?
During a speech at the White House, President Trump said that he would go to the Supreme Court to dispute the vote count. Earlier in a tweet, he also accused Democrats of trying to steal the vote. Biden's campaign has described as outrageous Trump's threat to try to stop the vote counting, warning that it has legal teams ready to resist that effort. Congressional Democrats have also condemned the president's claims as dangerous and illegitimate, accusing him of despotism. Final results from the U.S. presidential election may take days to be announced, as a record number of Americans have cast their ballots via mail.
As expected, Election Day in the United States ended with no clear winner in the presidential election. Early returns seem to give Donald Trump the key Electoral College swing states of Florida and Ohio, as the widely touted blue wave for Democratic challenger Joe Biden never materialized. However, a record number of mail-in votes means that counting could drag on for days, especially if vote totals remain close. The vote could even drag on for weeks, with hundreds of election-related lawsuits filed even before the polls opened. A highly controversial president and a highly controversial election now seem set for a highly controversial tabulation process.
Just kind of tired of it all. We've been in this election for 2 years, basically. And I've heard from a lot of friends that just, they're just kind of scared and worried about, chaos, worried about what the process is going to look like. Seems like a lot of things leading up to this has caused a lot of people to worry and be distrustful of, if the votes are going to be all counted and everything, so.
Polls showed that 3 out of 4 Americans were worried about violence on Election Day, probably because the mainstream media had talked about it constantly for months. But many major cities took extreme security measures, and the massive pitched battles between right-wing militias, anarchist groups, and cops never really occurred. However, nationwide rallies are set for the day after the election, and the lack of a clear victor could mean that America continues to see unprecedented protests and social unrest in 2020.
I think there's going to be violence. Doesn't matter who wins. So, like, if Trump wins, you know, we got all the Black Lives Matter, LGBT community who are going to, like, come out here and protest. But if, you know, Trump doesn't win, we got all the, like, white supremacists or the Trump supporters coming out.
The U.S. appears headed for a drawn-out election dispute like in the year 2000, which will be decided by lawyers and judges and not voters. As is the case with most of this exceptional year of 2020, the only certainty appears to be uncertainty. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
Well, let's cross on over to Miami. Ronnie Corbello is a correspondent who joins us from there to tell us more about the elections. Ronnie Corbello, at this point, we're obviously looking at some states to see where this is going to be headed to. If you can, please give us a wrap-up. Tell us where things stand at this point.
Yeah, as far as Florida, done. Now, the problem, if you want to call it that way, belongs to Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and but it's too close to call, as you perfect know that. So right now, what I can say is that it seems like Biden, they have a path, but and Donald Trump as well. So it's very tight to, it's very close to call at this point. So we have to wait. But I can tell also that in the next couple hours, we may have a better scenario of what that could happen.
Why is that?
Because they still count. In the case of Georgia, for example, like they just restart counting the votes of two counties. And by 11:30, they start for another two counties. So and that Biden is betting a lot on those votes that has been cast yet or counted yet, on particularly on three different counties. So let's see what Georgia brings to the Biden's campaign. Of course, if the way it is right now in the case of Wisconsin, and he end up winning the that state, he may be in a very, very good position. But it's too early.
Okay. Let's move on to one of the most contentious issues that has been discussed and not covered quite widely, and that came from the horse's mouth, so to speak, and that was what the U.S. President Donald Trump said. I mean, to come out and say that, you know, we're going to take this to the Supreme Court, we're going to contest the elections, basically that leads to not only perhaps chaos and distrust in the whole election system, i.e. democracy, but also to dispute the vote. That could really lead to a place that Americans are not very, very much familiar with. Tell us the repercussions of that and also how that has resonated out on the streets.
First of all, we don't expect less from Donald Trump. So that is Donald Trump acting as Donald Trump. So, but when he say we're going to go to the Supreme Court, he can go. He can't. He cannot go to the Supreme Court directly to the Supreme Court. He had other instances to go first. So it's too far away to go to talk about Supreme Court. And also in his speech, yeah, the first part of the speech, he say that the Democrats wants to go to take that to court. And then, less than 36 seconds later, he's saying that he is going to court. So that is Donald Trump. As of right now, I don't see any reaction in the street for what he said last night. Basically, the movements, the protests also goes out at night. So maybe tonight we're going to have something. But so far, everything is calm. Let's see what happened during the day when those other ballots that arrived earlier or by mail are counted in those states to see what happened. We may have a different picture later on this afternoon.
That's true. Before I let you go, just one of the pieces of information that has come through regarding the count is in Michigan with 89% of the expected votes tallied. You have Trump leading by 49.1%. Biden has 49.2%. So I take that back. Biden is 0.1% lead there. Given how close this is, What precautions are being taken in the counting system in order for there to be accuracy? Because when you're talking about 0.1% difference, obviously every vote counts here.
Exactly, and we are talking about 16 electoral votes. I just saw an interview from the authorities, the in charge of counting those votes in Wisconsin, and what she said a few minutes ago is that she asked for everybody's patience, that they are counting every single vote, and she wants rest until every single vote to be counted. Of course, they may be one of the battlegrounds that can go to the legal fight later on to recount and all that. And if that happens, of course, we're going to have like a very long days ahead of us.
Indeed. Thank you very much for that. From Miami, Ronnie Corbello. Many thanks. Well, also in the U.S., you have Republicans and Democrats who are competing to take control of the Senate. 35 of the Senate's 100 seats are up for grabs. The Democrats need to take 4 Republican seats to win the majority in the upper chamber of Congress. But they will need 3 ballots if Joe Biden becomes president and Senator Kamala Harris casts a tie-breaking vote as vice president. Polls show that Democrats have won Colorado but lost Alabama, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, and South Carolina. Final results from Senate elections may not be available for days, and in at least the case, for months. The Republicans have been in control of the Senate since the year 2015. And staying with the U.S., the Democratic Party is projected to retain its control of the House of Representatives. All 435 seats in the lower chamber of Congress are up for election. Media projections show that Democrats have so far expanded their previous majority of 232 by 4 seats. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has already praised her party for managing to keep its control in the chamber.
So that I can praise you for retaining our House Democratic majority.
Democrats will now secure another 2 years as a party in power in the U.S. House. Pelosi is also expected to preside over the lower chamber of Congress for another term. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani says it is not important for his country that who wins the U.S. presidential election.
It doesn't matter to us what happens in the U.S. or who gets elected. Neither individuals nor political parties are important for us. What matters to us is the approach the next U.S. administration adopts. What we want is that the U.S. returns to law. That's important for us.
Rouhani added that Washington should also return to international or multilateral agreements. He said what matters to Iran is that the U.S. respects the Iranian people. Rouhani added that the situation will change if the U.S. does that. The Iranian president stressed that 3 years of the so-called maximum pressure campaign by current U.S. administration has had no impact on Tehran. He said the Islamic Republic will pursue its own policies. Israeli soldiers have shot and killed a Palestinian police officer in the occupied West Bank. The victim, identified as Bilal Rawajba, was fatally shot at an Israeli military post near the city of Nablus. Palestinian medical officials say that they could not immediately retrieve the body since it was in Israeli custody. The Israeli military claims that the man was shot after he fired a pistol at soldiers. The regime's forces frequently target Palestinians, citing different pretexts. According to rights groups, more than 3,400 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces in the occupied territories over the past decade. Europe is struggling to contain the coronavirus pandemic as the number of fatalities and infections continues to rise across the continent. Russia announced a record daily number of infections with nearly 20,000 new cases and 389 deaths in 24 hours. Bulgaria reported more than 4,000 new infections, its highest one-day tally since the start of the pandemic. Ukraine's daily infections also surpassed 9,500, which is a new record high. Meanwhile, Italian officials have agreed to impose a nighttime curfew in order to stem the virus resurgence. The country has so far recorded over 39,000 deaths and more than 759,000 infections. Several other European countries, including France and the UK, have also reimposed strict measures to contain the spread of the virus. UK families calling for justice have held a rally asking for accountability and justice over UK deaths in police custody. Our UK correspondent Richard Sudan has more.
Deaths in custody has been and remains a serious issue of concern for many in Britain in 2020, with countless individuals continuing to die in deeply suspicious circumstances while in the custody of the police. This year, the United Friends and Family Campaign, UFFC, launched their yearly March for Justice, with this year's event taking place online due to the current COVID-19 restrictions. Despite the calls for justice continuing over many decades, police accountability and real change remain as elusive as ever, especially for black communities, which, according to the facts, are more likely to fall victim to police violence.
I think that certainly the use of force, as described by the Metropolitan Police, the extent to which they use force when addressing black people, was 6 times more likely. And of course, that because we're more likely to suffer mental ill health, that is always another recurring feature, overwhelming and disproportionate force, when actually what somebody needs is a caring environment, yes, restrained, but they're not criminal, they're just mentally ill. And so these are the kind of recurring factors that we see evidenced in black deaths in custody.
I'm the twin of Leon Patterson, who died in police custody in Denton in 1992, 27th of November. He was arrested on suspicion of stealing a till, which was then proved not to be the case. He was held in police custody for 6 days and was found dead in the cell on the 27th of November. The outline that I got from the chief superintendent was that Leon basically beat himself to death by throwing himself around the cell.
3 decades on from Leon Patterson's death, and like so many cases, no officer has ever been charged or brought to justice.
When we did remove the sheet from the body, I mean, it was a bit of a to-ing and fro-ing to remove the sheet, because he went, "You can't touch it." They had the morgue attendants trying to hold down the sheet, and the officer just kept standing behind me saying, "You do know this is all self-inflicted, you do know that he did this to himself." And that's when we turned him over and saw all the bruises on the back and down his legs. So to keep saying that this is all self-inflicted was mute.
Despite the calls for accountability and justice, far too many people fall victim to police violence, where far from upholding the law, they often break it with deadly consequences, knowing that they operate under a different set of laws which they themselves exist to uphold.
Deaths in custody remains an issue disproportionately affecting Britain's black communities. Despite promises to enact reforms, many argue that Britain's police remains institutionally racist. Under the current government and with racism on the rise, this situation could get a lot worse. Richard Sudam, London.
That's all the time we have for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Limelight. A new study found more than 80% of 200 patients hospitalized in Spain with COVID-19 had low levels of vitamin D. The study, which was published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, found that the majority of patients being treated for COVID-19 at a hospital in the northern city of Santander suffered from a deficiency of vitamin D. Researchers at the University of Cantabria determined that just 82% of the 216 patients had inadequate levels, compared to around 47% of people in a control group who didn't have the virus. The vitamin, which promotes healthy bones and supports immune system functions, is produced by the body naturally when it's exposed to sunlight, though it can also be obtained from eating food such as fatty fish, egg yolk, mushrooms and cheese. Patients with deficiencies of the sunlight vitamin in the study were also more likely to have hypertension and heart disease, as well as experience longer hospital stays. We're prepared for you an article written by news.sky.com and the New York Post. The piece is titled, "Antibodies Fall Rapidly After Coronavirus Infection, 80% of COVID-19 Patients Vitamin D Deficient." Please stay with us for more of news.sky.com and the New York Post article. Researchers are saying levels of protective antibodies in people wane quite rapidly after coronavirus infection. Antibodies are a key part of our immune defenses and stop the virus from getting inside the body's cells. The Imperial College London team found the number of people testing positive for antibodies has fallen by 26% between June and September. They said immunity appears to be fading and there is a risk of catching the coronavirus multiple times. More than 350,000 people in England have taken an antibody test as part of the REACT2 study so far. In the first round of testing at the end of June and the beginning of July, about 60 in 1,000 people had detectable antibodies. But in the later set of tests in September, only 44 per 1,000 people were positive. It suggested that the number of people with antibodies fell by more than a quarter between summer and autumn. Professor Helen Ward, one of the researchers, said, "Immunity is waning quite rapidly. We're only 3 months after our first round of tests, and we're already showing a 26% decline in antibodies." The fall was greater in those over the age of 65 compared with younger age groups, and in those without symptoms compared with those with full-blown COVID-19. The number of healthcare workers with antibodies remained relatively high, which the researchers suggest may be due to regular exposure to the virus. Antibodies stick to the surface of the coronavirus to stop it invading our body cells and attract the rest of the immune system. Exactly what the antibody drop means for immunity is still uncertain. There are other parts of the immune system, such as T cells, which may also play a role. However, the researchers warn antibodies tend to be highly predictive of who is protected. Professor Wendy Barclay says, "We can see the antibodies and we can see them declining, and we know antibodies on their own are quite protective." Professor Barclay added, "On the balance of evidence, I would say it would look as if immunity declines away at the same rate as antibodies decline away, and that this is an indication of waning immunity. There are four other human coronaviruses which we catch multiple times in our lives. They cause common cold symptoms, and we can be reinfected every 6 to 12 months. There have been very few confirmed cases of people getting COVID twice. However, the researchers warn this may be due to immunity only just starting to fade since the peak infection rates of March and April. The hope is the second infection will be milder than the first, even if immunity does decline, as the body should have an immune memory of the first encounter and know how to fight back." The researchers said their findings do not scupper hopes of a vaccine which may prove more effective than a real infection. One of the researchers, Professor Graham Cook, says, "The big picture is after the first wave, the great majority of the country didn't have evidence of protective immunity," adding, "The need for a vaccine is still very large. The data doesn't change that. What do I need to know about the coronavirus?" Commenting on the findings, Professor Jonathan Ball from the University of Nottingham says, "This study confirms suspicions that antibody responses, especially in vulnerable elderly populations, decreases over time. However, he said it was still important to get a better overall view of what protective immunity looks like. Professor Eleanor Riley from the University of Edinburgh said it would be premature to assume immunity did not last, but the data do lend weight to the concern that antibodies induced by natural infection may be short-lived, as is the case for other seasonal coronaviruses. Meanwhile, a new study found more than 80% of 200 patients hospitalized in Spain with COVID-19 had low levels of vitamin D. The study, which was published in the journal Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, found that the majority of patients being treated for COVID-19 at a hospital in the northern Spanish city of Santander suffered from a deficiency of vitamin D. Researchers at the University of Cantabria determined that just 82% of the 216 patients had inadequate levels, compared to around 47% of people in a control group who didn't have the virus. The vitamin, which promotes healthy bones and supports immune system function, is produced by the human body naturally when it's exposed to sunlight, though it can also be obtained from eating foods such as fatty fish, egg yolk, mushrooms, and cheese. Patients with deficiencies of sunlight vitamin, vitamin D in the study, were also more likely to have hypertension and heart disease, as well as experience longer hospital stays. Researchers, however, didn't find any link between vitamin D deficiency and severity of the illness, with no significantly higher rates of ICU admission, ventilator use, or death among those with inadequate levels of the sunshine vitamin.
Spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, he is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. In our meeting, I would like to talk a little bit about the nature and meaning of life according to Islamic teachings. When we study Quranic verses and our Islamic narrations, we realize that the meaning of life is somehow different from what we normally imagine. I just mentioned some Quranic verses, and during this short period of time, I try my best to explain the meaning of life according to these verses and some other Islamic narrations. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Chapter 16, verse 97. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever acts righteously, whether male or female, should he or she be faithful, we shall revive him or her with a good life. Look, according to this verse, we will be revived through these actions. First of all, we have to have faith, and then we have to act in accordance with our faith. The teacher and master of Imam Khomeini, the late Ayatollah Shahabadi, was telling that Satan is the dog of God. And you know this fact, that the dog would not harm those relatives and friends of its owner. It's natural. According to this great scholar, when you are going to be close friend of God or from Awliya Allah, the Satan would not harm you anymore. But the problem is to reach at this level. And the best and the most important element to reach to this level is the element of love. According to the supplication that I recited from our fourth Imam, Imam Ali ibn Hussein, peace be upon them, oh my God, who has tasted the sweetness of your love, then he or she wants to replace it with another love or with another beloved. We can conclude from this beautiful phrase that if we really taste the sweetness of love of God, we never replace it with another type of love. At the same time, we can conclude that if we prefer any type of love other than the love of God, love of money, power, position, everything, it is an indication of not achieving the love of God. And there is a relation between the love of God and the knowledge that I mentioned earlier.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers, open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
When you know God, you're going to love God. And when you love God, God is going to give you the light. And the reason, according to our scholars, is that then love is the result of two factors. Love is the result of knowledge about perfection and knowledge about beauty. Whenever you see a beautiful things, you're going to admire it. Whenever you see any type of perfection, you're going to admire it. You're going to love it. So the love is the result of these two factors. And you know, these two factors are at the highest level in Almighty God. So as long as you gain knowledge more, you're going to love God more. And when you love God, God is going to give you the real life. For the same reason, in that verse of the Holy Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. These two conditions. First of all, righteous acts and behaviors, good deeds. And second one is having faith, believe in God. Those are conditions. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We would give him or we would give her a pure and beautiful and real and good life. And my last point is the circle that I mentioned inevitably has to be completed. At the time of death, we're going to meet our origin. We're going to meet Almighty God. And even the realities of the world, something that normal people are not aware of it. For example, everything is praising the Lord. Everything is glorifying the Lord. Normal people are not able to realize this fact. But at the time of death, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غَطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. At the time of death, the curtain that we have made it would be removed. As a result, we're going to see the realities of the world. But at that time, there is no opportunity to work in accordance with these realities. About the real life also, it's important while you are living to do something to gain this real life. Otherwise, after this, all of us we're going to have some sort of resurrection. All of us we're going to meet God. But the important point is to achieve completion, to ignore yourself, your egoism, while you are on earth. While you have free will, you are able to do what you want, not at the time of death, which is going to be the end of our opportunity. I hope all of us are going to receive this real life, and I ask Almighty God to give us this tawfiq, this success in our life, to be able to be revived through those acts and good behaviors. And I ask Almighty God to prepare us for His last and remained messenger of the last Imam, the Wazirin of the Messenger of God, our Al-Imam Al-Hujjah, may God hasten his reappearance. And I ask Almighty God to include us among his real followers and I ask Almighty God not to separate us from the Holy Quran and the household of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Thank you very much for your time and attention. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe is hard and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know? For all the wisdom and tea you gave to me, let me offer something now so warm and comforting and sweet. Can you hear me whisper to you as you sleep? La ilaha illallah. Did you always understand? Can you feel me take your hand?
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
The Trump administration has refused to resume work on new federal regulations tabled in 2017 despite the coronavirus pandemic, says Jessica Corbett Ryder in an article published under the heading Health Workers Sue Trump Labor Secretary OSHA over unconscionable delay of protections against infectious disease. Here's the details of this article. After months of healthcare professionals battling as well as contradicting and dying from COVID-19, a coalition of labor unions on Thursday, October 29th, sued the U.S. Labor Secretary and the Federal Workplace Safety Agency over the unconscionable delay in issuing strong protections from infectious diseases for frontline workers. The lawsuit against Labor Secretary Eugene Scalia and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, was filed in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit and comes amid alarm over Trump administration's inadequate efforts to rein in and provide relief from coronavirus pandemic. The unions behind the case are the American Federation of Teachers, AFT, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFS-CME, the Washington State Nurses Association, WSNA, and the United Nurses Association of California Union of Healthcare Professionals, UNACUHCP. The unions collectively represent over 500,000 health professionals in hospitals, clinics, school nurse offices, drug treatment programs, and similar workplaces. In a joint statement, they highlighted Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data showing that more than 190,000 healthcare workers have been infected with COVID-19 and over 750 have died. Some estimates are even higher. A report published in late September by National Nurses United, which isn't part of the new suit, linked over 1,700 healthcare worker deaths to COVID-19, including 213 registered nurses. As of Thursday, October 29th, the virus had infected more than 8.9 million Americans and killed over 228,000. While President Donald Trump and his administration have been widely lambasted for the federal government's pandemic response, the suit also involves actions that preceded the current public health crisis. As NPR reported in May 2020, when President Trump took office in 2017, his team stopped work on new federal regulations that would have forced the healthcare industry to prepare for an airborne infectious disease pandemic such as COVID-19. That decision is documented in federal records reviewed by NPR. David Michaels, who was head of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration until January 2017, said, "If that rule had gone into effect, then every hospital, every nursing home would essentially have to have a plan where they made sure they had enough respirators and they were prepared for this sort of the pandemic. There is still no specific federal regulations protecting the healthcare workers from deadly airborne pathogens such as influenza, tuberculosis, or the coronavirus. This fact hit home during the last respiratory pandemic, the H1N1 outbreak in 2009. Thousands of Americans died and dozens of healthcare workers got sick. At least four nurses died. The unions charge that the administration tabling work on an infectious diseases standard and refusing to resume it in the face of the pandemic amount to an unreasonable delay in violation of the Administrative Procedure Act and the Occupational Safety and Health Act, OSH Act. Both UNAC, UHCPA, FD President Dennis Duncan and FD President Randy Van Garten noted persistent shortages of personal protective equipment during the pandemic, which are generating fresh concerns given an ongoing surge in cases. Those that provide healthcare to the community should never have to resort to borrowing, hoarding, or rationing PPE to protect workers and patients, said Duncan, a registered nurse. Based on science, standards need to be established for creating, distributing, and storing PPE. Oversight is necessary to protect caregivers from expired or poor quality equipment, and healthcare workers need to feel safe in the workplace and know that the healthcare system will protect them and the public alike, she added. When Garten declared that in times of national crisis, the government's job is to protect people, and in the case of protecting workers on the front line of this pandemic, the federal government has failed. Doctors, nurses, respiratory techs, and other healthcare professionals have been treating COVID-19 patients for the better part of a year without basic workplace protections, including adequate PPE, robust testing, and, most importantly, an infectious diseases standard that would require employers to establish a comprehensive infection control program to protect frontline workers who are facing daily exposure, Van Garten continued. OSHA has failed to regulate employers, which in turn have failed to protect the people caring for COVID-19 patients, Van Garten said. As a result, healthcare workers' infection rates remain troublingly high. This immoral treatment of the healthcare heroes carrying through this crisis must end, and both OSHA and employers must be held accountable to make hospitals safe for the people who work there, he added. Healthcare professionals from involved unions, including Ali Whitish, an emergency room nurse at a hospital in Washington State, and Lawrence Rick, a physician assistant at Kaiser Permanente South Bay Medical Center in Los Angeles, shared written declarations supporting the litigation. The unions are being represented by Democracy Forward. The group's legal director, Sean Lev, said that, from the start, the Trump administration abdicated its responsibility to keep healthcare workers and communities they serve safe. The administration's unlawful decision to shelve proposed protections for healthcare professionals has recklessly exposed them to deadly infectious diseases like COVID-19, Lev added. The decision betrays a dangerous disregard for the law and the health and safety of America's frontline workers.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters 7300 kHz for the Indian subcontinent and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or BAT 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. The key concept in Islam, the key teaching in Islam is Tawheed, monotheism. Again, monotheism is a very rough translation of Tawheed, because Tawheed itself encompasses a lot of things. You know, to actually break down what Tawheed means is, you know, will take a lot of time, and you know, we leave it to the experts in theology and kalam and philosophy to do so. But it is the core of Islam. It is the fundamental of Islam. It is the fundamental that we as Muslims, you know, form our lives around, that the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does Allah actually mean? Does it have a specific meaning? You know, and who is best to tell us this meaning than those individuals who know Tawheed better than anybody else? That is the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And it is the beauty of being part of being the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. To take knowledge from them, you know, is important. So Imam alayhi salam, as Imam Baqir alayhi salam, the fifth holy Imam, has a very beautiful tradition in trying to explain, expound and define what Allah means. Imam says that Allah means the one who is worshipped and whom people are too bewildered to comprehend his essence and fathom his identity. And this is important to understand, that we have certain discussions that, you know, people say that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be known. Allah cannot be known. That is true. His essence cannot be known. But there are certain things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can be known. We are not trying to understand the essence, but we are trying to understand what the essence may contain. For example, you have in theology the three attributes that they say, attributes of Zat, or attributes of essence. This is not going into the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not trying to understand the actual essence of these attributes, but you're trying to understand, okay, no, this is what we understand. You cannot say this is definitely this. No, this is what we understand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hay, he's alive. The rough translation again, he has strength, power, qudrat, and he has knowledge. All three of them, you know, come from hay itself, for something that is alive, has power, has strength, and something that is, and also has knowledge. Has, and so these are the three characteristics of dhat or essence that we read in theology. But it does not go against this tradition, for we have not dwelled into the Zat and saying that Allah is this. We understand that we cannot fathom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mystics themselves understand this, and they clearly state it. Even the philosophers, even the theologians, that the Zat and the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that we can even perceive. What we perceive is what our mind extracts from it, which is very different. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
The debate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the debate. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Sudanese people have held a